everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. A chance to hear from the Lord as He speaks from the heart. I thank the Lord for His word, all that He's doing, all the wonderful people that He's going to mightily use in these last days. God is always up to something good. The Holy Spirit is full of action. He's heading up the greatest move of God since the history of mankind. And everybody that's faithful, everybody that hears Him and applies faith to what they hear from Him, He will mightily use them to do His will. And all of their collective works work together with the one work of the Holy Spirit. People of God, we operate together as one body, as we act on what the Holy Spirit gives us to do, as we act on His guidance, as we honor His leadership, as we hear His word, as we speak His word, as we obey Him. Everything that we do in Him works together to perform one work, according to Ephesians chapter 4. He gave us the fivefold ministry to edify the body, to build it up, so that it won't be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine until all are one. See, it's one work. And the fivefold ministry, that by itself is full of challenges. Because what you're going to have to do is hear Him and obey Him. And sometimes the first thing people do is look for other people's approval, because the Holy Spirit will have you to do something that's different, but it will fill a void somewhere. You know, on some of the broadcasts, the Lord had me to say that the office of a pastor, it doesn't have to be in a church setting. Let's say that you had a Bible study among friends, and all the people that came to the Bible study went to different churches. You can still do the work of a pastor, a coach on a football team. He can still do the work of a pastor, giving this team good advice. Everything that God do doesn't have to be locked into one way of doing it. And it doesn't, and the work doesn't have to last a lifetime. What if we were so adjustable to the Lord that when He give you something to do, anytime He give you something to do and you do it, you're part of something bigger. It doesn't have to be traditionalized into one unit before we can be faithful with it. We are faithful along the way. The people you work with, the people that see you every day, they can be ministered to by the Holy Spirit operating in you. And that's what it's all about. And whatever your calling is, you can help people in that area of life. It's all about doing good. Jesus went about doing good. He preached the Sermon on the Mount. He didn't go back and preach another Sermon on the Mount. He did another one on the plain. He went around teaching people. Wherever He was, people would come. And He was wise. He had His disciples to go out and do good works. And then the people would come and hear Him and be blessed. People were healed. The dead were raised. They even came back and said, even the devils are subject to us. And He said, don't rejoice because the devils are subject to you. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Why? Because that's a small thing. And your name being written in heaven is a big thing. And if you love God and you obey Him, you're going to find out devils will flee from you. If you take authority over them and protect your work and your dedication, they won't be able to stop you. You're going to stop them. And the way we measure God's word is going to be measured back to us. Now, last broadcast, the Lord had me in Isaiah chapter 6. And we covered some things. It was a blessing. The Lord showed how he had to have Isaiah to blind the people. Because if people represent God wrong, that's the trend that they will set in the earth. Now we can use this to understand that there are many dead traditions that have been set already. Peter said that when the apostles die, false teachers will come. Paul said virtually the same thing. We looked at 2 Timothy chapter 3. He said, in verse 1, it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves." Let me read that again. I'm going to change a word and add a word. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, because men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. In verse 2, I changed the word "for" to because that's what it's there for. "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come," because there's an old trend set and people are still sinners and they always get off track. And the main reason they get off track is because it says, "For men should be lovers of their own selves," just like Lucifer was. He loved himself. He wanted to do what was good for what he desired for himself, without any thought of what would happen to others. He was very unconcerned about all the people whose lives would be stepped over by him. "Men should be lovers of their own selves, covetous." Now, when people are covetous, they can't have enough. When you're covetous, you want to get rich and you want to be, you're never satisfied. And no matter how much you achieve, you're still not satisfied. In being covetous, always desiring something that belongs to somebody else, and without the ability to truly enjoy life. You'll desire all these cars and you can't even drive them all. You'll desire the biggest house with all these rooms and you can't even keep it clean. You'll desire all this money that you'll never spend, and it'll drive your life in a ditch. You'll spend all your energy serving that God of covetousness, and you still won't enjoy life. I've seen people with less enjoy life 10 times more than people that are covetous. And you'll never know the joy of being a blessing to others, going about being good. It is a joy to be a blessing to people, to bring things to fruition, to leave a pattern of good works, to help people attain a healing process, to see people's lives change. You know, my daddy was a pastor, and the encouragement of a church can be such a blessing. Some families were so blessed that they listened to the word, they wanted to know God, they raised their children right, and their children were just like any other children, but they had the guidance of people that love God. And daddy would preach those messages and people would hear. Now, I was a child. I didn't pay attention like they did. But what I saw, families coming to church, families, husbands, wives, and a bunch of kids. Because he preached in Utah, Alabama. And the people that would come, they would bring their children. They all came to church, and they tried to do right. And their children would go to college, finish college, And then they would have, I saw stuff like this from the time I was very young. And I thought it was normal. And then when I worked my business, I worked at people's houses and I saw other things. I saw people that didn't go to church and what happened to them. They didn't, the people who's the families that went to church and took their children to church, their children did better because they knew what to watch out for. Even if they didn't fully follow God, they did better because they had a network of help. They had people expecting them to do something. They had encouragement. They were able to start something and finish something. They became lawyers, doctors, pharmacists. One of my friends became a pharmacist. And he went to Utah, Alabama with us. And when Daddy gave the invitation, he went down there to get saved. I didn't even know. I said, what's he doing? He went down there and got saved. I didn't. But it's time for people to know the power of God's influence, done the right way. And if it's done wrong, then there's a false trend set. And when people that don't go to church, they have no network. They're in this world. The devil's trying to stop them. They don't know what to watch out for. They think they're wise and they're not. You know, they are wise in some ways, but not against fighting the enemy. And they don't know what to watch out for. And good people are suffering because of it. And the enemy networks them in a way where they are seduced. I've seen a lot of things I really want to forget. I've seen parents give their children bad advice so that they could live. It's I don't want to go into that. Anyway, in chapter 3, he said, men should be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. I've seen this. Truth breakers, false accusers. You know, people will lie to you, say things that they're going to do and not do it. They'll accuse people when they don't like them. It's kind of like a president. If a person really hates a president, you can't say nothing good about that president. You'll make your friends mad at you if you like a president they hate. Now, it's the same thing. We don't have a right to do that. But people do it anyway. On both sides. And the Word of God didn't say hate the president. He said pray for the leaders you got. Pray for them. So that you can live a peaceable life. God can do things even if with a contrary president. Or a king. Or a prime minister. Whatever you got, pray for them. That's what the Word said do. Most people that become president, they desire the office to do good. They think different. Give them that much room. They just think different. But pray for them. They want to figure out whether they're the Antichrist or not. The Word of God said the Antichrist is not going to appear till there's a falling away first. And he probably won't appear till the church is actually gone. He'll probably rise from the ashes. Now, you know, that's futile to worry about who the false... Right now, if let's say the false prophet did get on the scene, he can't do the stuff he want to do because the Holy Spirit's still here. Whatever a crazy president do, if the church would pray... And if they take authority, you can just say, Satan, you can't use that man to do this. And he can't. You cut Satan off at the head, at the neck. What can he do then? That's why the false prophet's going to come to power when the true church is gone. Because Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. Ye are the salt of the earth. You are. If you're here, and you have all the kingdom rights and privileges to bring heaven on earth, and you're in the way of all the efforts of Satan. That's why he fights us, to get us to renege, to go backwards, to recant our faith, and we're not going to do that. But after the rapture, then the false prophet will be on the scene. It's possible that he could be alive already. And the way things are going, I'm sure he is. But I don't have time to figure out who he is. I'm busy doing what the Holy Spirit wants to do. See, we don't need distractions. We need to look at Jesus and fill our heart with his love and his word and go about doing good. See, when people have strife in their heart, it always leads to every evil work. Joseph's brothers had so much strife against him, they could not say anything good about him. And that's how people are when they get in strife with someone. I just use the president as an example. If they hate the president, you can't say nothing good about them without making them a frown on their face. And I've done it when Clinton was in office. I couldn't enjoy the radio station no more. They talked about Clinton more than they did Jesus. I said, I'd be glad when his term is up so they can quit talking about him. It's bad. We have to pray for people. They might be wrong. They might do dumb stuff. But the word said pray for them. And if you pray, when there's a distraction going on, your power is to look to Jesus. Because if you look at the distraction, it'll become bigger than Jesus in your sight. And the way it works, folks, when we have to receive what the Holy Spirit is saying in our heart, but we believe it, we speak it and we act on it. Now watch this. The way we measure it is the way it's going to be measured back to us. If we measure the word small, it'll be measured back to us small. And if we're so distracted with anything, it could be our goals, it could be a problem, it could be people that we don't like. If we're distracted with them, it's going to interfere with the process of our faith manifesting in life where we are. But if you look, if you're looking under Jesus and things are developing, even the development, don't look at that. Look at him. Look at him. And it will work. If you look at him, it will work. And as you progress, it's going to become easier for you to look to him. And you're going to start measuring the word bigger. And then it's going to be measured to you bigger. Because your faith activates heaven. Heaven will only operate according to your faith and the way you measure it. So get rid of the distractions. One day, when I lived in the Woodlawn area, my first house, I had set aside time. I had made my schedule so I could paint my house. I had one day to do it. And I spray painted the house with my spray equipment. But the day before, there was rain in the forecast. And I said, I got to paint the house today because I already took off. I told people I wasn't coming and I got to do this. So I believe God for good weather and no rain. It looked like it was going to pour down. And I kept believing God. I said, I'm not going to look at the clouds. I'm going to look at him. And I got my equipment together. And I promise you, the clouds, it was the dense clouds left. And it was like there was a hole around my neighborhood in the clouds. I said, I'm not going to put my faith in the sky. I asked the Lord, because I knew those clouds could shift. And I kept my faith in Him, in what I asked Him to do. And I kept looking to Him. And I painted that house and finished it. And it dried. And it didn't rain. And the enemy tried to fight me hard. I said, I'm going to paint this house. It's not going to rain. And I painted the house. And it didn't rain. But when the clouds broke through and I could see the blue sky, I said, I'm not going to put my faith in the blue sky. I'm going to keep my faith in Him. Because that's the way you do it. But allowing people the creepy things of this world to distract you, you're not going to be able to operate the process of faith. You can be so distracted that when the Holy Spirit speaks, you won't pay Him any attention. You can desire something so much that if the Holy Spirit give you wisdom and show you the truth about what you're doing or what you desire, you won't listen. You have to be at peace. And you have to look at Him. And you have to be adjustable. He cannot lead you wrong. He will not lead you wrong. He wants you to do well. But some people want to be married to this person so bad, they won't listen to good reason. If the Lord trying to show you, they're deceptive. I'm just using, you know, this is not real. But when people are deceptive and the Lord show it to you, that's your wisdom. Now, if you go against it, you're going to have problems. But one thing that may come out of you may learn to pay attention to the Holy Spirit. And then if it's a good choice, sometimes the enemy set things up to look bad that are good. And you still got to pay attention to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the people can do things that's similar to other people, but their heart is with you. And the Lord have helped me to navigate through life when things didn't look right. I've had the Lord to say, don't be offended. or don't feel threatened. If somebody say something, He'll say, don't feel threatened. And I stopped. I didn't say anything. And I found out that they meant no harm. The Holy Spirit helps us. We have to position ourselves to receive from it. I love God. And what bothers me the most is people are not using what God has given them. They're not growing from faith to faith. They're not learning to measure His word big. Let's say I had cancer. And I'm believing God for my healing. I have real faith. I can believe God that He'll heal me. But I'm not measuring my faith enough to get it all done. That's when He'll send somebody that's anointed to heal, and they'll break the yoke for me. See, the Lord can still do stuff. Don't be afraid of how you measure your faith. But it's our job to learn to measure it big. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what's the difference between a man believing God by faith and the gift of faith? When you're in faith, if you can't measure it big enough, the gift of faith helps you to measure it big enough to get the job done. But He also said, but you can grow to the point that your faith can operate enough to get the job done, and even greater than the gift of faith did. That's up to the individual. But this is a legal way that God can put us over. When I fell on the motorcycle, I didn't have time to say, Lord, bless me not to have no broken bones. Bless me not to injure my head and be a vegetable. I didn't have time to say all those kind of things. I said, Jesus. Because I'm sliding on the ground, hurting. For yards, I'm sliding on the ground. A good 10 or 20 yards, I slid. And I said, Jesus again. And I knew that I, while I'm still sliding, that I was going to be all right and not get all broke up. And then I was thrown from in front of that moving car. Now, that was when I had the motorcycle wreck. The gift of faith is there to put you over. Stay in faith. The Lord can help you get it done. Confess that you're going to get it done. Confess that it will manifest. The heaven's ready to help you. But it's still our responsibility to measure the word big enough. But if you can't, God got big brothers and sisters to help you out. They're called elders. He's got apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, all these people to help you. But keep it before the Lord, and he was sending what you need your way, and we'll get it all done. Pray in the Holy Spirit. That builds up your most holy faith. Study the word. Have a healthy intake of the word. Pray in the Holy Spirit until you get the manifestation you're after. But don't look at the cloudy things. Don't look at the things that's forming. You can let it encourage you, but steadily look to him. Because that's the way we win. But the world is not so much. It's a challenge to you everywhere you go. Especially when you have to do something people are not used to. We made it to verse 4. He said, there'll be traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. And if you don't turn away from people who are like this, from verse 2 to verse 5, if you don't turn away, people will group you together with them. And they'll feel like you condone what they're doing, so we'll condone what they're doing. And then they can rub off on you. Don't underestimate the enemy. The enemy is slick. He's an oily politician. He's slick. And he will send bad company your way to alter your course. Don't underestimate the wicked, because they were made in God's image, and they are creative, and they are crazy. They are off track. And their influence is deadly. It always leads to the bottom of life. For this sort are they, verse 6, they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. From such turn away. Now, even Christians that they don't believe in the power of God like they should, they're still God's people. It's not saying turn away from them. It's talking about people that have these character faults, these worldly ways. So there are some people that go to churches, they never heard of the Holy Spirit and the power of God. They leave that alone. They read over those scriptures. But God still works with them. They're still good people. God can still have a relationship with them. And sometimes he tell them things. But they take small bites of the word. They don't eat it all. They take small bites of it, but they take bites. And sometimes you can help them. And the Holy Spirit will show you what to say and when. When are the strategic times, he'll help you to win people, to see things right, to pray for them, to be a blessing to them. Jesus went about doing good. He didn't just go to the people that believed, and he went about doing good to everybody that would receive him. And then they believed. He died for everybody so that they might believe. But the Pharisees, the Sadducees, people that hated him, he rebuked them openly. And he didn't hang with them. Now, Matthew, the tax collector. No, Zacchaeus, the tax collector. He went to his house because that man repented. He heard him preach. He climbed a tree to hear Jesus. And then Jesus said, I'm going to your house today. And he was happy that Jesus came to his house. And that was a very unpopular thing, but this man wanted change in his life. Now, some people, they were devils out there. They did wrong. Nobody liked them. But they really want to know God. Don't turn away from them. Because when a man truly want to repent, he gets to live forever. And everybody, even these wicked folks, are valuable to God. Did you know God valued those crazy wicked presidents? He loved them. When Ahab took Nabal's field and the prophet told him he was going to die, he walked softly and the Lord delayed his judgment. He sent the prophet back, go back and tell him it's going to be delayed. Because he's walking softly. Just because he was scared. He feared God. God valued the people. Same people we get in strife with, God value them. You know, you may not value them, but God does. Now, I endeavor to do what God does. And I want things to be the way God. I want it to be according to his word. Now watch verse 7. He said that, verse 6, for this is the sort they are which they are, for this sort they are which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's the way of the world. And we're out of time. The Lord is not here. Continue to move in your life. Till next time, remember, I love you, God loves you, and Jesus is our